my brothers, on Canto 6, Chapter 15, Narada and Angira instructing Kipakeju, text number 26.
Tasmat svasthena manasa
in Sri Shadakim Atmanaha
Tasmat.
Therefore, swastena, with a careful, manasa, mind, vimrishya, considering, gatim, real position, atmanaha, of yourself, dvaite, in the duality, dhruva, as permanent, Artha, objects, Vishrambam, belief, Tyaja, give up, Upashamam, peaceful condition, Avisha, take to. Therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with the service to Krishna is eternal, thus you attain peace. Purport, the Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring about, to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable, sinful actions, and becoming increasingly entangled. The Krishna consciousness movement includes self-realization, because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body, but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself toward the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life, they're working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material condition as everlasting. One must give up his faith in material things and give up attachment to them. Then one will be able to be sober and peaceful. So the text again. Therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. And you'll also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Thus you attain peace. So everyone's looking for peace. And peace means that the mind is satisfied. Unless the mind is satisfied, one cannot attain peace. Or unless one is detached from the conceptions of the mind, the materialistic conceptions of the mind, one cannot be peaceful. Therefore, the beginning is we should understand that we're in a material in the material existence, and that we should wake up from material existence. Otherwise, if we think spiritual life is a dream, and we're in awakened state right now, then we'll never wake up. If you're asleep and you think you're awake, it's not a very good situation. And if someone tries to wake you up and you get bothered by why they're trying to bother me in my completely awakened state, that's also not a very good situation. Therefore, Krishna says, well, he says a lot of things, but one of the things he says is the material energy begins with dhyayato vishayam pumsa. That if we want to stop being in material consciousness, then we have to stop contemplating the objects of the senses. And the main object is, she loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, etc. Everyone is dreaming of romance in the material world. In other words, everyone is dreaming of becoming either Radha or Krishna. So this dreaming means that we're looking around for something that will, we think is worthy of our becoming attached to, because we have to serve. That's our nature, is to be a servant. And we want to serve something higher than us that will make us happy. So we look around for something to serve. And when we find it, we become attached to it. And from that comes lust, greed, anger, delusion, forgetfulness. And then our intelligence becomes absorbed in trying to exist in material energy. Then Krishna says, Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishen Indriyastaran Atma Vaishara Vidayatma Prasadam Adigachati. So if one wants prasad, one wants some kind of satisfaction, so Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu, one has to become free from Rag and Dvesha, attachment and aversion. Now, our materialistic intelligence and false ego always justify whatever attachments we have, whatever aversions we have. It all seems quite normal. We'll always justify it, well, everyone else does it, and I'm not that advanced, and, you know, this person's worthy to be hated because he's hateful, you know, he himself is on a lower platform, so it's good for me to hate him. To be averse to him, be disgusted by what he's doing. Of course, I'm not disgusted by what I'm doing. Or I'm not disgusted by being disgusted. I think it's, Maya will tell us, it's a perfectly normal consciousness. So this is called Raga and Dvesha, and we're supposed to become free from them. Raga, Dvesha, Vimuktais too. We're not supposed to become expert, or so knowledgeable we know everything. We're just supposed to get free from attachment and aversion. Two things we always avoid. We cultivate knowledge, we read, we study, we become expert at distributing books or singing or whatever. But attachment and aversion, we're not really interested in getting free from. Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan. And why? Because we're attached to the senses and the objects of the senses. We think that these things are worthy to be attached to. But here it says they're all temporary, and therefore being attached to something temporary will simply increase our attachment and lamentation. Indriyastaran. And what is it? It's all the senses, our sense of sight. We're looking for something beautiful to look at. Oh, this seems interesting. Maybe I should look at it. Come and see, come and see, come and see. The whole internet is that. Click here and look. You'll be happy. Or hearing, let's hear something, you know, some rock music. Now I'm feeling alive and I can do my service. Or smelling something, I'm not supposed to eat it, but it smells good. Pizza, I used to go to that place too. So the whole touch, smell, taste, the objects of the senses were thinking, oh, if my sense came in contact with this, I'd be so happy. Indriyastra, atma vaishara vidayatma. So one has to become situated in the real conception of the self. Then prasadam adhikacha. Then one can obtain real happiness out of the dualities of material existence. Prasadam savardukanam hariyarasya prajayate. Prasadam chetaso yasu buddhi paryavatishate. Then one's real intelligence can become stable if one is satisfied. Or Krishna says, one is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who's free from duality and doesn't envy, who's satisfied both with success and failure, is never entangled although performing actions. So it's our consciousness we're trying to change. Be satisfied with whatever our circumstances are, and etc. Yad richa labha shantusto dvandvatito vimatsaraha, free from duality. Oh, now I'm happy, now I'm unhappy. Now it's cold, now it's hot. Now it's this, now it's that. Now she loves me, now she hates me. Now he likes me, now he thinks I'm a fool. All these dualities. So if one is satisfied in any circumstance, and the only way we can be satisfied is if we actually see things in relation to Krishna, work in relation to Krishna, try to please Krishna, and therefore remember Krishna. And when we remember Krishna, then we can become satisfied in any circumstance. So it's not a question of just increasing our memory. Actually, we're trying to forget a lot of things. We're not just trying to increase our memory so we remember all the nonsense we've ever done. That we're trying to forget. Well, we should at least remember Krishna. If that's all we can remember, we're doing all right. We forget everything else except for Krishna, there's no problem. And if we have a perfect memory for everything and we forget Krishna, then we're in big trouble. So the satisfaction and prasadam savadukanam hayarisyo prajayate prasadam chetaso yasu buddhi pariyavatishtate. Then one is actually situated in Krishna consciousness. We can think about Krishna, but then next moment some attachment comes along and our intelligence is swept away like the wind, as Krishna will say later on. Therefore, nasti buddhiya yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavanaha nacha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kutak sukham. That one who's not in Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? The problem is we're used to not thinking about Krishna. And when we think about Krishna, we think, oh, I'm so exalted, I can't believe it. I actually thought about Krishna. I always knew I was an advanced devotee. But for the other time of the day when we're in forgetfulness, we think, well, this is completely normal. This is what it means to be normal. But that means we're an illusion. We're identifying ourselves with our gross and subtle bodies, and therefore we've lost our intelligence. And our minds will always be dissatisfied in whatever materialistic circumstances our consciousness finds itself in. It's never good enough, and it's always not what we wanted. But one who can give this up and have a controlled mind and steady intelligence and Krishna consciousness, then he can obtain real peace. And then there's a possibility of concentrating the mind in Krishna and obtaining real happiness. Indriyanam hicharitam yanmanu nuvidiyate tadasya harati pragya vayor navam ivambasi. Just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away the man's intelligence. So just look at anything in the material world too long without being in Krishna consciousness, and the intelligence just gets swept away, just like a strong wind sweeps away a boat in the water. So unless we're learning to see Krishna everywhere, or if we are learning to see Krishna everywhere, then our Maya will not sweep away our intelligence. But in order to do that, we have to be constantly engaged in Krishna service. In order to do that, we actually have to think or consider, what does Krishna really want me to do? Not that now I'm in these circumstances by divine arrangement, now I can do whatever I want. And if I can, then I'll offer the result to Krishna, maybe. Then we may think ourselves to be in Krishna consciousness, but we won't be able to think very deeply about Krishna for very long. Therefore, yani shasara tasma dyasya mahabaho nigrihi nami sarvasha indriyara indriyate vyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Therefore, one who restrains his senses from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna. Yani shasara bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sani shapashutomune. What is night for all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-control. So just practically, when the devotees are getting up, that's when usually the materialists are going to sleep. When the devotees are going to sleep, that's when all the materialists wake up. Or they think the devotees are deluded fools. So foolish that some of them sometimes even dress in their bedsheet. They don't know anything, they just mumble something, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Whatever you ask them, they just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And we have so much sophistication, we have 150 channels on our television. And we have thousands of restaurants everywhere, and nightclubs, and TV, and movies, and we have so many things, and all they got is mumbling, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So unfortunate. So they think we're unfortunate, we're missing out on so much, and we're thinking, and they're so fortunate because they have so much opportunities for sense gratification. And we're thinking they're so unfortunate because they're going to hell. They're preparing themselves for hell. And that we're at least going to, you know, somewhere higher. So two different viewpoints. One of them must be right. One of them is wrong. Now we take the path of self-realization and give up the idea that I'm going to be happy by sense gratification. It's not that there's no happiness in sense gratification. There's something, but it's not very much. It's called tuchavat. But if you don't have anything, that one drop of water in the desert is quite delicious. It may not be much from an objective point of view, but if you're dying of thirst in the desert, even one drop seems like an ocean. But if you're actually, someone comes along and takes you to an oasis, then you might be able to recognize the difference between dying of thirst in a desert with one drop of water and being in an oasis with nice fruits and flowers and all kinds of delicious juices and nectars. You might be able to see the difference. But for a materialist, all he knows is that one drop. For him, it's everything. He can't conceive of giving it up. Therefore, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into an ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone attain peace, and not a person who strives to satisfy such desires. So we have to look at ourselves, as it says in the verse, we have to examine what we're doing. Not we just go like we flow along all day long and the end of the day, we might think, hey, I wonder what I did today. Oh, I can't remember. No important, just go to sleep. Don't worry about these things. No, we're supposed to be thoughtful what we're doing. This is really what Krishna wants me to do. Is this actually, am I doing it as a servant of Krishna? Am I trying to do it with care and attention to please him? So we have to be thoughtful. Then we'll be able to recognize what is devotional service and what is something else. And when the ideas flow through our mind, we can accept something thoughtfully and not accept the first thing that flows through our mind. Accept something which is actually recognized by Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and pray to the Super Soul to let us understand what to do and how to do it. Then we can do something nicely for Krishna. And what should be the result? Apuryamanam vihaya kamiyak sarvam pumam charati nisriha nirvamo nirahankara sishantim adigachiti. Person who gets free from all vihaya kamiyak sarvam, from all attachment and lust, pumam charati nisriha, and all the material desires, who gives up the sense of proprietorship, is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So peace is not the question of getting a position or a particular activity, a particular amount of wealth or a talent. Peace is to give up lust, anger, greed, false ego, material attachment. This is the only way we can become peaceful. And unless we become peaceful, we can never become happy. So we may try this way, that way, whatever, to become peaceful. If we get everything we want, then I'll be peaceful. But we'll never get everything we want, because we want to be God, really. We can't become God, so it's not possible. Even we own this whole planet, still we won't be peaceful. We want at least two planets to feel secure. And then we'll spend the rest of our existence trying to protect our two planets from all the other planets. And even when we become Hiranyakashipu, we control the whole universe, still he wasn't peaceful. He was constantly intoxicated. Maybe there's something he didn't figure out. And he was right. There's a lot of things he didn't figure out. Therefore, Esha Brahma Siddhi Partha, Nainam Prapi Vimuyati, Siddhvas Himandakalepi, Brahmanir Vanarichati. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which man is never bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So this is what we're trying to practice for. That's what our advancement is. If we feel some transcendental ecstasy, then we can feel our heart became a little purified. And purified means that we become less attached to the objects of the senses, we become a little bit more appreciative of the devotees, and we actually focus our attention more easily and more consistently upon Krishna. And we can give up this false ego, false proprietorship, lust, anger, and greed, and the acceptance of material things. And if we become so practiced that even at the hour of death, then we can actually remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, full Krishna consciousness. So this is what the verse says. We should be thoughtful. See that what we're doing is actually what Krishna wants us to do. See things in a perspective of Krishna consciousness first, then see what Krishna would like us to do under these circumstances, and then try to do it for Krishna. And the result should be that Krishna is pleased with us, and he helps us remember him, and we make progress in devotional service and Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
So if the living entity inside the body cannot be affected or touched by any kind of arrangement of the elements of material nature, how then there is some happiness that comes from sense gratification? Like where does it come from?
There is no happiness from sense gratification. There's just the alleviation of misery. Or there's some kind of taste for material energy. There's some kind of experience. But it comes from Krishna, because everything is Krishna's energy. Therefore, everything has some quality like Krishna has it. But as far as just generally, the most important thing about sense gratification is the absence of the burning desire to have sense gratification. Just like if you have a fire and you pour a ghee on it, then the fire goes out. But then it utilizes the fuel to burn even more. So when we have a desire and we fulfill it, then when the desire isn't there, we feel better. We fulfill the desire. So that's called happiness. We're not tormented by our desires. And then the next moment the desire comes back again, and we seek after the objects to satisfy it again, and it goes on perpetually. But there is, there's a taste, there's a smell, we have some enjoyment from them, because they're Krishna, they're Krishna's energy. By nature we're enjoyers of Krishna, so now we're trying to enjoy his energy, which has just a minuscule part of the enjoyment of Krishna. So when you eat something nice, there's some taste. But if we actually had spiritual senses, then we realize that our eating something nice and having that taste is just like having a feast with a glove on the tongue. Not much of a taste when you have a glove on your tongue. You take the tongue off, you can actually taste much better. So Krishna consciousness is simply to take the glove off, and we can actually really experience what real taste is. We're just getting a shadow of that now. It's like eating your whole life sweet rice with sand in it, and you get used to it. And then sometime or another you can get real sweet rice with sugar instead of sand. You can notice the difference. But right now, so we have to try to get the sweet rice with the sugar in it rather than the sand. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam.